Well, tonight, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. If you have your Bible, read with me if you would. Luke chapter 10, and we'll start in the 25th verse. Thank you, choir, for that. I believe in miracles, too. And the Lord saved me. That's a great miracle, isn't it? And if you're saved, why, that's a miracle that you look at in life as an amazing thing to you, what God has done. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in the 25th verse, and we'll read not quite to the end of the chapter. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your word. Guide us through it now tonight. Lord, apply it. Make us, Lord, aware of the particular message you have for each of us. And Lord, help us that we will respond to your word. Help us to respond to you personally and accept what you say, follow you in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you on the three philosophies here in this passage of Scripture and how you think of life. You are in one of these three categories. There was a man that came, and he stood up. He was a lawyer. He stood up and asked Jesus, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the matter of salvation is not that which we're going to discuss directly tonight. The question here, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds and asks him a question. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now that is the perfection, and that is what the law all speaks about completely. What the scripture talks about, the loving the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If that was kept perfectly, then we would be as Christ, would we not? That is the description of how he lived. And if we were to do that and do it perfectly, certainly there would be eternal life, but that is not the case with us. But he's a lawyer. That is, he's the studier of the law. What does the law say? How is it that the law says you can be right with God, and this is how it says it? Well, the neighbor, or the man, who I think was somewhat embarrassed knowing his own heart. And how could he answer that? He wouldn't be able to say, I've done that. Now, the rich young ruler said that he had kept the commandments, but this is quite a greater summary of those commandments and a deeper summary, and I do not think that anybody could say that they've kept this. And so he tried to justify himself somehow, and he asked, Who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells a story, and it's very familiar. We call it the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. I suppose this story is known by most people. They've heard of the Good Samaritan. They may not know the details of it, but they know that there's a Good Samaritan. They know something about him. And Jesus tells the story here to us. There was a man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, that's a downward course. Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, and Jericho is below sea level on the bank of the Jordan River. This journey downward was very dangerous for some, and I think it would be so because Jerusalem being the center of the nation, of its capital and commerce and all of its importance, and Jericho being the place maybe of a Palm Springs, a resort for the rich, it was a well-traveled road of rich people. And as he went down on that road to Jericho, he fell among thieves. And they stripped him, and they wounded him, and they left him half dead. The Bible tells us that as that occurred, there were some events and people coming by. And we see the first group that comes by, a certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and then a Levite. And when he was at the place, he came, looked on him, passed by on the other side, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured in oil and wine, he set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And then the next day he said, whatever else there is in need that he has, I will take care of it. He took out 2 pence. He said, I'll return, and whatever else that is needed, I will repay you. Three philosophies of life here, and let me give them to you very quickly. The thieves had this philosophy, what is yours is mine if I can get it. The other two, the priest and the Levite, is what is mine and I'm going to keep it. And the third philosophy is the Lord Jesus' philosophy here and the Good Samaritan. What is mine, I will give it as it is needed. Those are three different groups of people, and we see all three, I think, in our society. And we really recognize that which we have in us. For this story was told to cause this man, the lawyer, to examine himself and look at himself as to how he was treating others, what his heart was really like. It's an exposure of his own mind and thinking. Who is the neighbor to this man that was wounded? And it is the story that causes an examination of ourselves. First of all, I want to give you something about the thieves. The thieves are very typical today, and not all of them are in jail, nor are all of them going to jail. There are many people that will never end up in jail, but this is the philosophy of their life. What is yours is mine if I can get it. And that idea is really larger in our society and in the world than probably we would think. Very little on advertisements has to do with your good, but the good of the person that can get it from you, what you have. And the desire for wealth and the desire to get is pretty common and a strong motivation in people. And I say that it is oftentimes that kind of motivation that has poisoned and oftentimes caused great trouble in homes and societies, cities, and so on. I hope you're listening. What is yours is mine if I can get it. And so there is the slick salesman. There is the guy that says you need this when you don't. The idea of greed is so much acceptable in our society. The idea of whatever I can get, I will do, and I will do what is necessary for that, even if it hurts you. A self-centeredness that is very strong and open. Not hidden. In fact, it's almost thought to be the wise way to live. Many people would sell something and try to get as much out of it as they can, even though it is not necessarily worth it. Yet, the idea is a smart thing to get what you can from anybody that you can get it from. Whether it helps them or hurts them does not matter. It is what is theirs is mine if I can get it. And the thieves, when they wound this man, they have the spirit like that, and they will harm him. They'll do whatever is necessary to get what he has that they might benefit from it. And that, in general, is a very open and common matter in our society. I do not think anybody here tonight would defend that position, although I think that we would sometimes practice it. Nor do I think that we would respect somebody in that kind of way, and we could very quickly admit that it was wrong what they were doing. The second philosophy here is what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. That is not as big a problem, maybe. We could put it that way to most people. That is more respectable and acceptable in most people's thinking. What is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Here's a man that's wounded, and he's dying. And yet, it would cost them something to help him. And so their idea and their philosophy is, I'm going to have what I've got, I'm going to keep it. It is mine, and it's nobody's business but mine what I do with what is mine. Of the two, I'm not sure which is more despicable. For the first would maybe be more ready to admit that, you know, when you really got them down to it, that they weren't being right in what they were doing. But in the second philosophy, it's oftentimes this is very much defended. And if I could say that the second philosophy, it is in a religious realm, isn't it? This was a priest and a Levite. These were men of the cloth, so to speak. These were men of religion. These were men of ethics, high morals, high standing. These are men that seems to be more upright, respectable. And yet they have that philosophy. What is mine, and I'm going to keep it. This philosophy is something like this. What is my time, and don't bother me. I'm busy. It's hard sometimes to get people to serve the Lord, isn't it? And you old people, I'm going to pick on you a little tonight. The older we get, isn't it true? We kind of want to just let our time be our own. Put aside, you know, we've had a long life, we're retired now, we've put in our hours, we've done our thing, and now then, it's time for somebody else to work. And we think that's respectable. Time and money and talent, whatever it is that we have, we tend to think that we've earned it and we have the right to do with it what we want, and nobody should say anything against it. I fear this is where most of God's people are. Sacrifice is oftentimes no longer practiced. If I have time, I will do it, but if I don't have time, what does that mean? Well, sometimes it just simply means what time I have is mine, and I have the right to do with what I want, what I have with what I want. I got all that wrong. I have the right to do with my time what I want. That's not Christian. Being tired is not an excuse. Being old is not an excuse. Now, there's a man here, 96 tonight. I noticed he sang in the choir. What is yours is not yours. It is God's. Whether it be your time or your money, it doesn't matter. What is yours, your life, is not yours. It is God's. And you may think it respectable to have the attitude, what is mine, and I'm going to do with it what I want. You may think that is normal. It is not normal in the sense of spirituality and the sense of God's work. It is very wicked. And there's not a person in this room that would defend the thieves, and there's not a person in this room that would defend the priests and the Levites. And yet we, when we get into that kind of thinking, what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. When we get into that kind of thinking, we really are harming people around us. We didn't cause the thievery. We didn't make the man wounded. But the result is going to be a part of what happened. In other words, we are going to be a part of the problem because we did not take the time and the effort to do something about it. The third philosophy is the Lord Jesus. And that's who the Good Samaritan is. Jesus left heaven, came to a world that was wounded by sin and left half dead by the thieves of this world, by the thief of sin and death, and he came to this world that he might save us from our sins. There's not a person in this room that does not admire the Good Samaritan. You look at him as one that is honorable and loving. For the message here has to do with love. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is that philosophy of the Good Samaritan that showed that love, and it was genuine. He was a true neighbor. The care of the man that was wounded was the responsibility of those that were around. And this world is a world that is dying in sin. And this world is a world that does not have an answer or solution to the thieves that have come and stripped this world of all its righteousness. And the evil and the wickedness that has come and destroyed that evil, it is the Good Samaritan, the one that has the solution, that one that has that opportunity that can stop and help that one that is to do so and love the world. Now, I have to say to you that the excuses of the Levite and the priest are lame. There is no excuse. And if he was tired, the Levite or the priest, It does not mean that he should not stop. If he is short on time, there are responsibilities that he carries. Yet the emergency of that matter is greater than their responsibilities otherwise. Churches today are consumers. I'm not saying that about this church. I'm saying in general, where we look for what can be done for us, but not for the responsibility that we have for others. And the philosophy of the Lord Jesus Christ has oftentimes been put aside. And here's how it happens, and I want to go over it with you. This world is a mean place. And some of you have been hurt. I remember a man in my church years ago telling me as he grew into his late 90s, he said, I didn't put enough money aside for my old age. I didn't think I was going to live this long. But there was something else. There was a situation that he had when he was soon retired that took some of his money. A scam artist came and got some of his money. That's a sad thing when I heard about that. And I thought about it and felt sorry for him, and he was fine. But you see, we're wounded sometimes. We're hurt. There's things that happen, and this world does things to us. And sometimes when somebody does something to us, somebody that might be able to help does not. And those philosophies begin to rub shoulders and they begin to rub off on us. And we begin to think, if I'm going to survive or if I'm going to make it, I'm going to not anymore involve myself in sacrifice. We take from the world a philosophy and begin to practice it. And sometimes it's out of our own troubles. And a man says, I don't steal anything, but I'm not going to go out of my way anymore because I have been hurt too much. That is not the way to live. We have not yet striven unto death, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful example, that he would come and be what was needed for us that we might be saved. And that is who we need to rub shoulders with, so to speak. That's who we need to focus on. That's what our heart should be embracing, that wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in noticing him and seeing him and experiencing him, that it should be then that which takes us out of the thinking and the ways of this world, and we practice instead his way and his practice. And we can do so. And here's the reason. Because he did not wound us. He did not pass us by. He picked us up. He put us on his own beast. He healed us. He brought us to where we could function again. He paid it all. He did it all. And therefore, that is what causes us also to love. Amen. To take out of ourselves those things that are wicked of the world and have the right ideas and thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care. I don't care how old we are. Christ can give us that kind of philosophy and that kind of, I don't like to use the word philosophy, but he can give us that kind of life if we just keep in close touch with him. The joy of the Lord, the strength of that, the enjoyment of him, the healing of him, and I still am being healed, are you? And he still has carried me, and all of that causes me to have a compassion upon someone else. My time is not mine own. I've been bought with a price. Change your ideas. Change your practice. Get over your hurts. Get over what somebody did. Expose your pain. I didn't mean that. Expose the life that you have to the dangers of pain around you, and do it for Christ's sake, and do it for those that are in need. That's what this church must keep on with. You need prayer. We spoke of that some months ago here. You need preaching. But if you do not have love, you're a tinkling cymbal. If you're not doing it for the sake of Christ and those that are suffering, you are empty. If you do it for show or because somebody is watching the movie cameras on you, so to speak, while you're walking by that wounded man, it does no good. But if you do it for the sake of the Lord Jesus and for the sake of that man, there is the difference, and that is the only place. May I tell you, the Lord Jesus is the only one and His followers that practice that in this life. And if we are going to be the salt of the world and the light of the world, then we must practice it. We must give up ourselves. Jesus said that if any man would follow Him, that he must deny himself until he's 80 years old. No, it didn't say that, did it? Deny himself. I used to go to a nursing home and preach, and I was a young man when I started. I was 19 when I first preached in this particular nursing home. But when I got through preaching there, I was in my late 50s, and I have to say to you, I could get a lot on them a lot harder by that time. I don't care what your age is, you can get selfish and self-centered. Get over yourself. You say, preacher, I don't have the energy I used to have, all right? So? You can tell I don't have the energy I used to have. But it doesn't take much energy to pray. It doesn't take much energy to encourage. And I'll tell you something, old people can encourage young people so much. We used to have an 87, and he seems young tonight, but anyway, 87-year-old man, and he'd go with us out to the nursing home just because he wanted to be around us. Well, he didn't know it, but he was a great encouragement to us. And he loved us. The kindness, the gentleness, the love of Christians is what so much is needed in our day. Oh, how much it's needed. And what a light it is when it shines. Because we are in a darkness. Who speaks to you in a store? Who shows kindness to us? Who is the one that has really a personal interest? I go to the bank and they say, how's your day today? And I think to myself, do you really care? And I hope they do care. But you see what I'm saying? We have to pay people to say, how's your day today? Well, how can we be practical? Some of you like to go to the Dodgers game, and I think that's wonderful. Men, don't take some young lad to the Dodger game by yourself. It's not something that people today in our twisted way of thinking would think maybe is appropriate. But there's somebody maybe that is poor that needs something. You can do something for them. I'm not preaching the social gospel. I'm talking about showing somebody some kindness. Do something for somebody. Go out of your way. Find out what you can do. Think about it. Invite somebody to church. Don't leave it up to the bus workers. Go out and get a child and ask their parents and talk to them and ask them if they'd come to church. Get over yourself. I like to come home and rest. But we don't always have to rest, do we? Remember years ago, a doctor sent her to me for some psychiatric health. She was complaining to him about how unhappy she was. So he sent her to me, and I told her to bake some cookies and take them to her neighbor, and she came back to me and she said, "Brother Doyle, I'm so happy." Well, I think that's a little bit silly, but at the same time, I think what makes so much of us miserable is what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. I know, I've got some pain. Get over it. This is the beginning almost of a new year, isn't it? What should you do? Think about it. There's people lost. They're dying and go to hell. Why don't you pray for them? We prayed for men that were lost and they had families and they were mistreating their wife and their kids. And we prayed for them and they got saved. I'll tell you something. That was painful and we had to go out of our way every Saturday night. Men gathered together and prayed for that one man for months. Prayed for somebody. I have a son that's lost. I pray for him out every day. One day I was praying for him, and the Lord said, "You know, there's a lot of other sons out here that are lost that are not your sons. Why aren't you praying for them?" The Lord Jesus is our example. What did he do everywhere he went? Was he ever tired? Yes. Did he pray all night? Yes. Why? For what reason? What could it do for him? I say to you that the Lord Jesus was obedient, even unto death. And there was a joy that was set before him. But there's a joy set before you. When you pick up that one and help him to church, isn't that a blessing? Think about what you can do. Oh, I tell you, there's a lady now in her 80s, and she was kind of a second mother to me when I was the first a pastor. And she has people call her all the time, but hadn't seen her in years. Because she lived over those years. She got saved when she was in her 30s, 36, I believe. Remember the church, but wasn't saved, and she got saved. And now then all these 50 years have gone by, and she was out there bringing children in on the buses every week. Those children are grown, and she has people calling her all the time, coming by and seeing her. If my kids are anywhere around where she lives, they stop and see her. Even my lost son stopped and saw her because of her kindness. And I know many in this room maybe are practicing that to some degree, but we're looking at another year. Can't we do more? Isn't there more? And I say, if physically you can't, you can still spiritually, can't you? I think that the fact that we're maybe retired, somebody is retired, maybe we talked about some of that tonight. Maybe you were freed up from some other things, but oh, should that not be then that you'd be freed up to do much more spiritually? Yes. Three philosophies. Who do you want to live like? Who should you live like? What is respectable? There's only one, isn't there? And that is the way of the Samaritan. And he is the Good Samaritan. I think it's good to reflect. I think it's good for us to look at the past year and say, what could I have done better? And I think it's good to have some desire for the new year and say, oh Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Somebody in this room ought to sacrifice some things financially. What does your life consist of? Some of you need to give up your time. Some of you need to just be better, and I'm going to raise my hand and be more friendly. Give myself more to the concerns of others. Be more Christ-like. And change the whole course of human history. It's true. In Christ, and through our little efforts, God uses us. It may be a kindness, word of encouragement, maybe a rebuke of Scripture, maybe a gospel message that comes at the right time and someone comes to know Christ as their Savior and the whole course of history is changed. Now, am I wrong in saying this, that the course I'm seeing is a downward course into more and more selfishness? Isn't it something, though, when somebody is Christ-like and they help somebody come to know Christ and it reverses it? What a great opportunity we have. So encourage the down and out. The one that has been wounded, help them. Sometimes the ones that are wounded are out wounding others. Be kind. Don't strike back. Care for them. Love them. Be patient. Lord, help me. And eternity changes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the effect that you've had on us. How wicked we are. How wrong we've been. How wounded our lives were. How good you've been. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And Lord, if that is not forgotten, then we will know the love we have. We will experience the love for you and for others. Help us. Help us. And I pray that our hearts, Lord, would be stirred in the year ahead. There would be so much that you would use us in, that you would be glorified and honored in it. And that, Lord, those that have hurt others, and the thieves that have wounded others, the ones that have not cared about the needs that anybody has, that, Lord, they might also see this truth, and they might have Christ also, they might be saved, they might be a part of that army that follows Christ. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Would you stand?